Every single parent has a day or two that they know they might just lose their mind and rip out their hair because the kids will not quit fighting. And ultimately, in our hearts, we've made this commitment to our families. We want strong relationships. We want relationships that are going to last through the test of time. We want not just us and our spouse and us and our children to get along, but we want the siblings to get along and to love each other and to be best friends. I don't know a single family that I have met that homeschools that has not wanted that for their children. But it's not always something simple to understand. How do we nurture these strong sibling relationships, especially if growing up our own parents allowed us to fight and squabble and didn't help? So for those of you that don't know where to start, this is something that I'm very, really excited to talk to you about. There are simple ways that we can nurture a spirit of love and kindness among our siblings, the siblings in our home. And it's something that for those of you who follow the Charlotte Mason method of homeschooling, which I'm going to be talking about quite a lot now in the podcast, it is an absolutely amazing philosophy developed by an incredible woman. You've heard about her a few times on the podcast recently with some guests that I had. But she really emphasizes the importance of nurturing these strong and supportive sibling relationships. She teaches about how encouraging kindness and cooperation and empathy between siblings actually increases a sense of camaraderie, and it even strengthens the family bonds as a whole. And because she taught us to educate the whole child, that includes cultivating strong character traits and teaching our children how to have those strong bonds and relationships within the family. So in a Charlotte Mason homeschool, all of you most likely already know the emphasis is not just on academics, but on the develop the whole person. And so that includes teaching our children how to have a good relationship with their siblings. And so when we are fostering this love, making it a culture inside of our home, and that we are fostering a culture of kindness, what we're also doing is actually nurturing the character of our children. And we're creating this environment in our home that supports our children in emotional and relational growth, not just family peace and fun. The outcome, the side effect, the wonderful thing we love, of course, is the peace. But it's really teaching our children also how to relate with everybody in their future. So this method encourages parents to create that atmosphere and love inside of love and respect inside our homes, because it helps the children to thrive and to learn from each other and to learn from us, because they see us modeling it. And so it's so important that we develop this positive family dynamic if we want our family to last through the generations, that we pass down good habits and positive relationship skills. And so today I want to share a few verses we can use with our children, and through using scripture verses, through practicing kindness, through engaging in sibling bonding activities, which is great. It's something that most of us don't do, and really it's not something that's common, but some families do it and it's amazing. But also teaching conflict resolution and forgiveness and cultivating this culture of love and kindness inside of our home, we're really putting in place a very strong foundation, not just for the sibling relationships, but also just for building strong foundational values and principles inside of the person of each of our children. So the efforts that we use to foster this love and kindness, and the ones that align with all of the Charlotte Mason philosophies of nurturing the whole child and creating a loving home environment, do help our children to learn and to grow. It's just an absolutely beautiful experience. And it's so significant when we nurture these bonds between our kids. So I'm excited to dig into this with you, and grab your notebook, grab your hot cup of tea. Let's start talking about this. Hey mamas, welcome to Her Home and Heart podcast. Do you want balance in your home life and peace in your heart at the end of each long day? Do you want to let go of feelings of failure because you've yelled at the kids again despite promising yourself and God you'd stop? I'm Katie. I'm a homeschooling mom who also had little kids and wanted to create a thriving home environment. In this podcast, you'll find resources for holistic living, heart connection with your family, and homeschooling so that you won't wake up to regret one day.
Even if you have outside-the-box learners or your own health challenges, you'll find support here. Breathe deeply, grab a coffee, and let the kids go play, because it's time for you to find peace and fulfillment that you've been longing for. Let's go!
Have you been feeling overwhelmed and unsure about how to navigate this parenting and homeschooling journey? I hear you, and I'm here to help. I'm so excited. I put together for you a cheat sheet. It's going to unveil my secrets to finding balance and harmony inside of a unique home ecosystem. You're going to be able to say goodbye to chaos and confusion and embrace much more peace and a fulfilling experience for a whole family. And as a special bonus, I've added to this cheat sheet my top 5 secrets for you to love your homeschool, to help you create a nurturing environment where all of your children, including your special needs child and you, can thrive. I've added practical strategies and some heartfelt insights, and I know they're going to make a world of difference for you in your daily life. I understand the challenges that you face. I live it every day, even today. And so this resource is designed specifically for parents just like you and me. I want you to be able to take a deep breath, gather your strength, and find renewed inspiration on this very unpredictable journey. I don't want exhaustion to hold you back from finding the support and the guidance that you need. So go to herhomeandheart.net/free. The link is in the description, and you will find that you can get your free copy there today. You will also find that I have many other resources for you in the description, and I hope that this podcast today helps you as well. I would love to give you a big hug and just let you know you are not alone on this path. Together, we can empower each other and create families where we have a nurturing environment, a joyful homeschooling experience, even if we have a special needs child. I am very, very glad that you allow me into your daily life to embrace and guide and support you. It's time to find clarity and renewed energy on your unique parenting and homeschooling journey. Go to herhomeandheart.net/free. Over the years, I've seen such a difference in families where the idea of having strong sibling relationships has been present and where it has not. And it's such a beautiful treasure when parents are able to nurture these relationships. It's a gift to not just your life and the peace and tranquility in your home and the enjoyment in your home, but it is a gift to your future family as well. And so this is just a topic so dear to my heart. It's so dear to my heart. And, you know, for a special needs family, this is a realm that takes on an even deeper meaning. It's so important because we have an extra level of challenge in regard to creating the bonds in the siblings. So at some point I'll do an episode specific to the sibling relationship with a special needs child, but the ones I'm going to talk about today are actually just for everybody, the whole family. So the first aspect of this is just to understand the importance of love, being loving. Jesus emphasized so often the power of love. And in the world, outside of the doors of our home, outside of the boundary lines of our property, we don't have any control. The world is very harsh, and our children will encounter it one day. But the gift that we get to give to them, that we have been handed as far as our stewardship, is that we can foster a spirit of love here, inside of our home, where the children can experience that, where it can be infused into them, and where they can then take that outside of our boundary lines, into their lives, into our communities, and they can share that with others. But it has to start at home. And so home is our only guaranteed safe haven if we choose to make it that way. And I've seen many families, due to various reasons, mainly boiling down ultimately to selfishness on the part of the parent, not choose it. And I guarantee you, it destroys the family. I've seen it happen over and over and over. And it's such an easy and enjoyable and fulfilling thing to make love a primary focus in our homes. So let's turn to scripture. A verse, for example, that we should memorize that is encouraging to me is above all, 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. This emphasizes that love is transformative in our relationships. It can cover over a multitude of sins. When we love one another deeply, it actually creates this atmosphere where there is forgiveness and grace, and we're looking below the surface. And as parents, we have this privilege of modeling and teaching our children about the unconditional love that God has for each of us and His forgiveness, and why it's so important for us to offer that same forgiveness to those around us. And that begins with siblings. We have that beautiful opportunity. It feels so frustrating when the kids have to walk through this and they aren't being loving, but it's an opportunity to pour into their lives. It's an opportunity to teach them about God and about how He has loved us first. So let me give you an example. This example is just, I don't know, it just really makes me think of my kids. So two siblings, Sarah and David. David has special needs. He requires a lot of extra attention and care from his parents. So Sarah could feel overlooked. She could feel burdened by the demands placed on her parents, but her parents have been very intentional. They ensure that they know that she feels loved. They've done this through things like learning her love language, trying to figure out her personality type, speaking to her in ways that are efficient and effective so that she knows she's loved and they listen to her. She knows she's seen, she knows she's heard. And her parents have nurtured her relationship with her brother, so she's not bitter and she's not upset. She understands that her parents' attention to David's needs, it doesn't diminish their love for her. Instead, what happens in this home is that she gets to witness the sacrificial love and selflessness of her parents while they care for David. And on top of it, she has the opportunity to join them in it. This is truly a gift. This has helped us in our family in ways I never could have imagined and I never could have parented into. Our children chose love and compassion, and they don't do it perfectly. I didn't model it perfectly, not at all. But it was instilled in them because they knew they were valued at their core because God made them and because they were a gift and a treasure to their father and I. And so they were then able to have that security inside of themselves that even when their sibling needed much more time and attention, that they could just partner in that, and they choose to. It's not by force, it's chosen, and it's with joy and gladness, and it creates a team feeling, a team environment. We in fact do call ourselves Team Keen and have for many years. And so when love is the foundation where a sibling relationship thrives, it allows the siblings to grow together, to navigate challenges if both siblings are able to, which even when there's a special needs child, you know, my son being profoundly disabled, there are so many challenges that the siblings navigate together. So, and you know, it just helps everyone in the family to experience the joy of a loving family dynamic. So as parents, as stewards of our homes, of our relationships inside of our homes, we get to choose to be intentionally nurturing and to bring a spirit of love into our home. And the good news is we don't just have to do this by ourselves. We get to be guided by the wisdom of Scripture and by the power that God gives us. He says to ask, and you know, He will give us what we need to be equipped for every day. And so as parents, we can create an environment where the siblings can flourish, where they can grow in their character, and they can develop the strong bonds that do withstand the tests of time. Love, Christ's love that we exemplify in our homes imperfectly, becomes this transformative force, and it just strengthens our family dynamics. It fosters that lifelong connection. So that's the first one. There are a total of 5. So the second one is practicing kindness. Kindness is sort of like this gentle breeze, and it just sweeps through our homes, refreshing and uplifting. You know how it feels. It's amazing. And we can guide our children to practice kindness simply by doing it ourselves, when we model it. It's the hardest job in the world, I believe, to be a parent, because we have to be who we want them to be. Ouch, right? But what a wonderful personal development journey, isn't it? And so when we exemplify kindness, especially when we don't feel like it, and that helps teach the children the importance of treating others with love and respect, because they are being treated with love and respect. Romans 12:10 reminds us, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So a couple of things you could do. Some people use something called a kindness jar. Well, we used one called a fuzzy jar. The kindness jar, you could fill the kindness jar full of little notes that have like random act of kindness ideas inside the jar. And, you know, it can be little things like offer a helping hand, share a toy, give a genuine compliment, you know, just anything so simple. Some of them can just be silly and fun and enjoyable, but always something that shows a kindness. This also cultivates empathy, it helps to raise compassion, and it definitely helps children think outside of themselves and to look at, have consideration for others. We used the fuzzy jar, a very, very similar idea, but for us, it was these little pom-poms, you know, the little fuzzy balls that you can get at the craft store. Kids come home with them on their papers from preschool, for example, or Sunday school. And what we would do is when the kids did something for one another that made them feel fuzzy inside, then they could, the child who received the fuzzy act of kindness would report that to the parent. We would essentially set our kids up for success by having them looking out for each other's kindness. Believe me, this can help turn a bad day on its head. And so then when they would report the kindness, they would get to award the sibling with the fuzzy. And depending on if it was a little kindness or a big kindness, they could reward a little fuzzy or a big fuzzy. And when the fuzzy jar was filled, we had preset a family goal so that we would earn, whether it was like, you know, ice cream for everybody or family pizza night or I don't know, you know, just pick something, an outing. We would choose from different things in different seasons of life. And we didn't do the fuzzy jar all the time. We usually would implement that when people were really having a hard time with each other, when there was a streak of being grumpy and short-tempered and, you know, siblings being selfish. Then we'd say, oh, it's time for the fuzzy jar again. And we would implement that. So very simple. You can just get a mason jar, you know, pick what size you want in order for the family to earn. Everyone puts their fuzzies in. And when it's a big full jar of fuzzy feelings that happened in the family, go reward yourselves. All right, the third way you can help nurture sibling relationships is through sibling bonding activities. These are intentional opportunities for siblings to bond and connect, and they actually really do build this love and kindness in the family just through these activities. It's really simple. It's just a matter of intentionally planning little activities that let them share special moments, because then those create memories, and memories are bonding. So one family that I've, my mom knew this family years ago, they would do a siblings day. I remember her telling us about that. And they would yearly have a siblings day party. There were other families that I've run across who have sibling date nights. It's really kind of cool. And so like mom and dad would have a date night, you know, they have like a family-wide date night and they rotate each week which siblings would meet with each other, and then they'd rotate who was with mom and dad, so that the whole family was having opportunities, intentional opportunities in peaceful moments to just hang out together, read a book together or listen to music together or play a game of cards together or whatever the family enjoys doing. But it was just that they'd pair them off. It could be much simpler than that, though. You know, if you're in a season of life and you're like, those things are not reasonable for us, then it could be that you just have nature walks together as a group and explore God's creation, or do a family game night, even a family movie night. But game nights are better in many ways, because you can then enjoy laughter and friendly competition. And that does give a little bit of a fertile ground there for love to just grow. The fourth way, and I've mentioned this in other episodes, but it's through conflict resolution and forgiveness, and actually using little systems to create a really patterned opportunity for the kids. They really grab onto it and understand how it works, because sibling conflicts are just inevitable. They're going to happen. They are inevitable in family life. But we can teach our children through those moments. And you've heard me say it before many times that, you know, conflict, as irritating as it might be, as frustrating as it is to have to stop what we're doing again and, you know, go guide the kids, wow, what an opportunity, because we get to pour into them, how do you work through conflict? How do you offer forgiveness? What is that really? And if we can slow down ourselves long enough to actually focus on the kids and not just try to rush them through it ourselves, that's not a good habit. And I can honestly tell you it's happened to me before. I think it happens to everybody. But when we as parents can remind ourselves, no, this is an opportunity. This isn't an interruption. And step them through. Help them to have open communication together. Help teach them how they can express their feelings to the other, even in those moments where they're upset and angry, but with kindness and respect. And listen to one another with kindness and respect. So Ephesians 4:32 reminds us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. In these moments of conflict, when we can guide them through an actual process, a pre-established process that we as parents have already set up, can even write it down, post it for the kids, that is very helpful. But when we walk them through the process of reconciliation and forgiveness and they can memorize the steps, it helps them learn how it needs to be. And it helps them be authentic and actually think through the problem. And that leads into them being able to carry that skill set into the adult life that they have, that they will have one day. It's very important. And teaching them the importance of seeking forgiveness and extending forgiveness to each other is just so vital. It's a gift. It's truly a gift. And we can help pour into them to remind them, to teach them if they don't already know, that forgiveness does help us heal. It helps us grow. And when we are given the opportunity to have restoration of love between siblings, that is also a gift. Unfortunately, when siblings are grown and adults, well, it's not always possible to have the reconciliation, and that is entirely heartbreaking. But we need to teach our children that even when someone else is unwilling to forgive or reconcile, that we still must forgive in our hearts, because otherwise it can actually do us harm mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and physically. So it's a very, very important skill. The fifth one, the last one, is cultivating a culture of love and kindness. And this is really for the parent. It's not directed toward the child as much. This is just mom and dad really getting on the same page about what kind of culture of home life do they want to have? What is it that we want inside of our homes so that we can be intentional and have consistency? You know, as parents, we totally set the tone for our family dynamic. I mean, we can have kids who are emotional and they, you know, get upset really easy, and we have to help work them through that, and, you know, have kids with special needs who have all kinds of behaviors they can't necessarily help that can really raise the stress level in the home. And I know that. I'm not discounting that. But we as parents, in our reactions and in our management of how we treat others when we are feeling stressed, really impacts everything else that happens in our home. So Proverbs 22:6 reminds us, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. So incorporating different things into our family time, like family rituals, just things that can promote love and togetherness, like a family prayer time every day or every meal, you know, that really can bring in an example to your family of honoring God and of trying to bring love and togetherness in. You know, creating a family motto and a family mission statement also help with this. So, like I mentioned before, you can also name your family with a team name. That's always fun, and it does help. And you can even do things like buy yourself family merch. I've seen that more than once. People who will make family merch and even create a unique family crest. I think that is so much fun. So the most important thing, though, that we can do as parents, more important than family merch and a family crest and a mission statement, honestly, is to have a very safe space for communication so that every family member is able to express their thoughts and feelings with the knowledge that even if they're disagreed with, they will be seen, they will be heard, and that even when they're disagreed with, they are still loved. And family meetings are a really wonderful way to make space in life for that. So as parents, it's important that we set clear expectations for our children and that we live by them and that reflect our values of loving kindness and encourage the children to treat each other as they would like to be treated. I'm sure you've probably said that to your kids 1,000 times, huh? So creating an atmosphere of love and respect where children really do thrive in their relationships and where they actually learn from one another, it's truly a blessing for your entire family. And one day, that will include blessing your sons-in-law and daughters-in-law and eventually your grandkids too. So I hope this blessed you. I hope these 5 tips will truly help you to be able to turn and nurture in a simpler way into your family. I hope you come and join the Facebook community. We would absolutely love to have you come and gather with other homeschooling parents there and many who are raising a special needs child as well. So come and connect. The link is in the description here of this episode. I can't wait to see you there. Thanks for listening and spending time with us today.
If you know anyone who could benefit from my mom's podcast, please share it and leave a review so others can find us too.
See you next time.